Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Where's the manager? Walser Automotive presents Car Selling Secrets.
Great theme song. Welcome, everybody. It's Thursday, and that can mean only one thing. That was me and my wife, actually.
Oh, it was.
Okay. Yeah, it's available for sale in the lobby. It's Walser Automotive Group's Car Selling Secrets. I'm joined in studio by first-time Car Selling Secrets guest to my right.
Hello, Chris Eggert, 5 Eyewitness News.
Andy Brampernard.
Mike Gelfand.
And Thomas M. Bernard. What do you think?
It's Thursday's always boys club, isn't it?
It's kind of boys. Well, it's Car Selling Secrets, boys club.
We have girls in once in a while, but mostly just boys.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tommy, do you guys read a lot of poetry on the queue?
You mean like, there once was a man from Nantucket?
No, more like T.S. Eliot.
April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Dougie, what's wrong? You a little sad?
No, other than the weather, nothing's wrong. In fact, in the Walser world, Coon Rapids and Burnsville finished number 1 and 2 in the state of Minnesota. J-Lo finally beat Dan Resch.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Is it okay if I take all the credit?
Well, I'd expect nothing less. Actually, we've got great inventory of some great vehicles, and these short-term leases are perfect for people who can't get the brands that they want.
You told me about those. You can drive a new Nissan for as little as 18 months, and by then the chips will be aplenty.
That's it exactly. We hope by then you'll be a Walser Nissan convert.
For great deals from the Minnesota sales leaders, go to Burnsville or Coon Rapids Nissan.
Hey, this is Brian Zepp. Summer is finally here, and if you're like me, you've got some serious riding planned. Make sure you and your motorcycle are good to go with Dennis Kirk. Whatever you ride, Harley, Indian, metric cruiser, or sport bike, you'll find what you need at Dennis Kirk. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets too. Order before 8 p.m., and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. Follow Zepp's lead and head to DennisKirk.com. They ship today.
Chris is here, first-time guest, and I'm going to ask him the traditional question in a minute, but sometime during this episode...
We're not going to introduce the cameraman?
He said he was going to be
That's
really
Kevin
quiet.
Bubach. Kevin Bubach, 5 Eyewitness News.
Kevin, good to see you.
Legendary photographer.
So for those listening, because we don't have a video stream, we're also recording this and taping it for part of a in-depth interview as to why Tom Bernard's so crazy. But before we get to that, the tradition on Car Selling Secrets is we have our guests tell the story of the very first car they had. So, and you can make up whatever you want as long as it's a good story.
Well,
wait a minute. Hang on. News people never make anything up.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So let's see. Not the first car I drove, because I won't count my parents' cars.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be a 1984 Chevy Cavalier.
That was just last
that.
Year?
Yeah. It was a couple years before that. That was a lovely oxidized, faded, kind of a navy blue type color.
Typical early 80s Chevy. Yeah, the paint lasted sometimes months before it just started to deteriorate.
It had a really nice red pinstripe that ran right down the side that was a little faded too, like the rest of it. Took that car to college.
Now, did it have a bench seat in the front?
No, it had bucket
seats. Oh, yeah, the sport buckets.
Mm. Yeah, which
some people preferred the bench seat, if you know what I
mean. Yeah.
For the drive-in?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I did, too.
We made it work.
Remember, I didn't start driving until I was 21, so I don't know anything about that.
You didn't really?
Did the car survive your college years as well?
It almost got the interesting thing about that car is it almost got stolen. Because
somebody steal a celebrity?
Yeah, I know, right? So
we lived in
this
field of Yugos. Or...
Ooh, there you go.
I think it was a matter of convenience, not wanting the luxury of a 1984 Chevy Cavalier. So some people we lived next to our college house, which was a dump. When it snowed outside, snow actually would come in at the baseboards of the house.
Oh, nice.
To paint a picture of the quality of living that we were in.
No, wait a minute. Not under the door, but under the mop boards?
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a place.
Yeah.
Where was this?
This was Huron, South Dakota.
Oh, basketball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They're playing basketball. And so anyway, I lost my keys. I never lose my keys. I'm not a key losing person. Mm-hmm. I consider myself better organized than that.
Always. Starting to sound like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
He's a key loser. He's not a key loser.
Exactly. Always been like that. So my keys disappeared, and I was like, "What in the hell is going on?" We'd have a person or two over every once in a while at the house. I thought maybe somebody walked off with them, and who knew? I wasn't all that worried about it. I couldn't find them for 2 days, and a local policeman showed up over at our house, which is never really a great scene when you're a college student either. And, it turned out that these girls that would live next door, who were high school girls, they were planning on stealing the car and running with it across country to get out of town.
Were their names Thelma and Louise by any chance?
Yeah, there you go.
You are older than you look.
Yeah,
this is
crazy.
Huron?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I love Huron, but I know there are probably some who wanted to get out of there, but I'm not sure that.
That's odd.
One of the girls ratted him out, so there was a snitch.
Oh, okay.
And so one of the snitches went to the police, and so that's how I ended up finding my keys. Got the cop walks back, hands me my keys. I'm like, "Thank you, officer."
Is this an answer or a pitch?
Oh,
I mean, this is great storytelling.
It is good storytelling.
You know, you usually don't get your money's worth quite like this.
No, I know. We've asked this 120 times, and usually it's like, yeah, I had a Honda.
Right.
Yeah, stretch.
But now you guys are going, okay, wrap it up. We got other things.
Yeah. No, that's
not
fine.
At all. Not at all.
That's
people,
it. That's,
people
that's
like
the,
those stories.
That's the story.
Is that so? Alex is or his better?
Well, Alex is the most unusual because everybody else's stories is like yours. It centers around what would be a $500 car. And Alex is going, "See, my first car, I can't remember, was it the Jag or the Audi?"
Oh, wow. Wow.
He's like, "Whoa."
The cake eater sessions. But I get it. You know, dad does well, and you're the daughter, and daughters always get the good stuff.
Andy had, what was that car? You had that big black kind of station wagon looking thing. What was that?
Station wagon.
Chrysler.
Oh, one of those.
Well, there was a Charger, but that wasn't my first. My first was the Durango.
Oh, it was the Durango.
Yeah, pretty good car.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I had the F-250. Because we lived on a farm.
So you're really into fuel-efficent vehicles.
Yeah.
What do you get that gets like 6 miles to the gallon?
I think that F-250 was my least favorite thing I've ever driven. Because if there's any ice in the country, you hit those brakes and you're going to be skidding for a good city block.
Oh, yeah.
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 Is that the car that slid sideways when you went into the coffee shop?
No, that was my Jeep Compass.
Oh, that's right. It was a Compass.
Well, that was, I was parked on a hill at Walgreens, got in the car, started it up, and I just started sliding to the left.
And you see those videos on the news from time to time, school buses going sideways down a sheet of ice.
Yeah. I was like, well, wow. I can't do anything about this, so let's see how it plays out. Because you can't do anything.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of being the sober driver of the car that was unsafe at any speed.
What kind of friends did you have?
You know, they were looking out for number one. And,
that's unusual.
You know that, but you know what? It was retribution, as far as I'm concerned. I made the mistake of being sober a few times.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Never do that again.
Not when you're in high school.
And you were forced to drive a Corvair? Is that what you're getting at?
I was forced to drive a Corvair, and sometimes in the middle of winter. And, you know, it was true, though. It was, I mean, if you dared, you didn't want to make a daredevil move, like try to make a left turn.
Yeah, you don't want that. No. Oh, God, you don't need that.
You're asking for trouble.
So you stayed sober. That's a good thing, man.
Yeah. Well, I learned the hard way.
You learned the hard way about it. You know, I quit drinking on my 21st birthday. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know you then.
I drank from the time I was 11 to 21, and then I quit drinking at 21, and then started again at 29.
No kidding.
My old 20s, I didn't drink. That was weird.
And that's normally when most people do their best drinking.
That's prime time right there.
Did I ever tell you what Louie Nanny asked me?
Uh-uh.
He goes, so, Tommy, I got to ask you a question. Like, I know you haven't had any, you know, you don't drink for the last 10 years, and I know when you were young you didn't drink then either, so, well, like, what was the big difference between you when you drank and when you didn't? And I said, well, when I drank, I was an even bigger prick. And he started laughing. I thought he was going to choke to because he agreed with it, apparently, is why he was laughing.
He was setting you up to get that answer,
yeah,
right?
He was definitely setting me up. I had no question about it, but... Yeah, I don't know why. I just, at 21, I went, I've had enough of this for a while. Stop smoking and drinking.
He probably kind of connected with that. You know, up in the Sioux, they...
Oh, yeah.
They drink plenty up there.
They can have a cocktail up in the Sioux. Lou from the Sioux, baby. No doubt about it.
Is that where he's from, Sault Ste. Marie?
Yep. He is a Lou from the Sioux.
I've never
met
him before. He seems like a just
You never
a
met Louie?
No.
I will call him and have him on Car Selling Secrets.
That'd be
awesome.
Oh, Louis's a great guy. But Francine's a much better person than Louis.
That's always the case, right?
That's always the case.
I don't think I've seen Louis in...
a couple years.
More than a couple.
Oh, more than that, probably.
I don't even know the last time.
My favorite thing about Louis is that little side S that he's got. Jesus Christ. I love it when
kind
he does
of a lateral slide.
Yeah, he's kind of got that deal going. But great family, though. Really, really nice. Louis Nanny, all his family.
Yeah, let's get him in. That'd be really cool.
No, he'd come in and do it. Absolutely.
Cool.
Maybe we get the whole family to come in. About 15 of them come on.
Nice.
Yeah,
I got a big family. No doubt about that. But Tino and I are really, really good. You should get Tino in sometime. That's about why he had a parrot on his shoulder when he was the goalie for the Kicks. Do you remember that? The promo pictures? He always had a parrot on his shoulder. I don't know what that was all about.
Who are we going to put a parrot on their shoulder here?
Chris Eggert.
Oh, that's right.
I'll do it. Yeah. I already got the pick leg thing going. I might as well.
Well, that's how it came up.
No, that's exactly what
I might as well complete
friends.
The pirate look.
You go ahead and tell them why we're talking about this.
Because I said on the show this morning, I was talking to you and Herbeck.
We were talking about Chris coming in.
And Herbeck, too. I was talking to Herbeck about it, too. I said, when you come in, I was going to need you to put a parrot on your shoulder and take your leg off.
I've thought about that as a backup plan for when this TV thing finally burns out, which I know it'll happen any day.
Any day now,
it'll be any day this week, for that matter. But I'm like, grow a beard, get a parrot, just be the
you're gonna
the
be Captain Morgan,
pirate guy for things.
Captain
there
Morgan.
There you go. Except real.
That's right.
Yeah. You're looking for buried treasure. That'd be phenomenal. That'd be magnificent.
So, Chris, let me ask you, how did you get into broadcasting? What was the journey from college, and what'd you study in school?
Well, girls? I was an athlete, so I went into school thinking that I was going to stay into like sports medicine or get into something like that and stay in the field. But about 2 years into college, I had a family friend who worked at a local radio station, KOKK.
Kook?
KOKK.
KOKK,
1210 AM, Dakota's Country, and he went to give us a tour tour of the station.
Those are terrible calls. It's like KKK's not much better.
Yeah,
okay?
Right. It's right there on the.
it is exactly.
So he had me go to the TV station or the radio station. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And he goes, well, actually, we're looking for part time people to be DJs. And I'm like, really? What kind of qualifications do you have? I don't know. You got a pulse? I mean, that's about where
it's
it
radio.
Yeah,
so,
you need ears so we can put the headphones on.
Well, according to Wikipedia, the station's current motto is "the station that grows on you."
Oh my!
That's like Nebraska's
K-O-K-K
tourism.
KOKK grows.
That's shameless.
Oh, it is extremely shameless.
Nice outfit. Nice outfit you got there, Edgar.
The guy who brought me on board there is a general manager now. So. I love it.
The station that grows on you.
I'm going to have to give him crap about that one next time I see him.
I'm guessing it was on purpose.
There's some good length to this radio.
That's right.
Jesus.
It throbs with excitement.
They did have a very large coverage area.
They did.
Good.
Glad to hear it.
Yes.
Well, like, I'm happy to hear that. So did you like radio?
I loved radio.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
I mean, to this day, I still think back about it very romantically because it felt like it was looser. It was just more comfortable for me. But at some point, I got pushed, you know, well, you should do a TV internship. And I did that. And I was like, well, gosh, this is pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of went that direction. I continued work. I worked full-time radio. I was a full-time employee at that radio station through college for 3 years, I guess. Or I would have been two years full-time there. And then got out of that, you know, graduated. And was like, well, I guess I'm going to take a TV job. So.
Yeah,
decided to go that route. Neither one of them paid much at that point. So,
as opposed to the huge salaries everybody makes the day in the radio business.
Well, anything, particularly in broadcasting, starting out, you're paid nothing, right? You gotta love it, otherwise, you know, you're not going to do it. You're not doing it for money.
I took flying lessons probably 30 some years ago, and my flight instructor was my age, and his day job was a pharmaceutical rep, so he was doing pretty good in the early 80s. He's making 60 or 70 grand a year, which was it's okay today.
Absolutely.
It was really good back then. And one day he goes, well, I'm going to be leaving in another month. I just got, because the whole game to become an airline pilot is you have to go through all these levels and rack up enough hours so you can get to the bigs. And his dad flew 747s to Japan, which is like the ultimate job. You work 10 days a month and you make a lot of money.
Right.
So he goes, yep. I said, so are you going to be making the big dough now? And he goes, no, I'm selling everything because I'm going from 70 a year to 13.5.
Oh,
the first officer with Great Lakes Aviation, which is where I am.
That's about what I made for my first TV reporter job.
13.5, baby.
And I wasn't
landing
planes.
And if you made a mistake, you didn't kill anybody.
Right, exactly.
So, but he's still a friend, and I see him come through the airport every once in a while. I hear this voice at MSP, Mrs. Sprinthal, how are you? It's like, oh, Wakefield, you son of a bitch, where are you? So, but
I assume he's making more than that now.
Yeah, he's a Delta captain. So, you know, I think that's 150 to two.
They're in a bit of a kerfuffle over all that. I think they have been all summer.
Or are they?
I think they're in a contract negotiation kind of period.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Did they strike? I don't think they struck.
They were out doing informational pickets,
I think,
a couple months ago.
Oh,
but.
Okay.
And they're the airlines are, there's a huge pilot shortage right now, and a lot of the old guys are retiring, and there's not a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the other guy's point. Like, we're getting overworked. We're not we're not getting the rest we're supposed to get, which is huge, right?
I don't want a tired pilot.
No.
No, that would not be good. Kind of dozing off at the wheel. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. No question about it.
I'm going to make myself tired.
Honest to God, that was very convincing when you did that, I'll tell you. Like, whoa, man.
So did you start out on a small market? You didn't just land in Minneapolis?
I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
Nowadays, a fella can probably go from a market that size to this market. It's changed a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
But back then, you had to bounce around quite a bit. So I was in Sioux Falls. Got my first anchor job in Rapid City, South Dakota. Went there to Omaha. I was there where I met my wife. Same TV station that Tom Brokaw was at.
There you go.
In his career, so I felt really good about that.
Absolutely.
Because he's from South Dakota too, so there were many similarities between us.
Yeah, well, I've been to Boston Gardens, and Larry Bird used to play there. So,
same story.
He can go to his left. I can make a left-hand turn.
I have hands.
Just about the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Brokaw.
Did you ever meet Brokaw?
No, but...
phenomenal guy.
One of my mom's teacher's aides taught him in grade school. Like, she was his teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, again, like South Dakota, that's very typical. So you're always once removed from somebody. So
one of the great things about Brokaw is I was invited to have dinner with him one night, and we were sitting there, and you could tell by his facial features whether he agreed with you or not. it was hilarious. He would just his face would change.
I guess I can see that, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very smart guy though.
Oh,
he did
for
a speech. It was I can't remember who put the thing together, but he did. One of the great things about that is So I get there. It's a table for eight people. Catherine and I are sitting right next to it. You're Brokaw's here. I'm here. And Catherine's there. And then originally it said that I was supposed to be sitting where Andy is and Catherine would be down there, mm-hmm. right? But there were two spots open. So they just moved me next to Brokaw, which was great and a nice deal for me. You know why the two spots were open? Because a man and a woman heard I was coming, so they said, we're not coming if he's going to be
there.
Are
you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
Do you know who that was?
Let's
true story.
Think who would be. So they, it had to be a lefty.
They refused.
Guessing he was a politician.
Good guessing so far.
Walter Mondale.
You got it.
Is it really?
It was
that
Walter
was my
Mondale.
First guess. My second would have been Al Franken.
Oh, Frank wouldn't have. Yeah, there's no way he would go either. That's true.
Walter Mondale bailed because of
bailed,
you?
He United States, Vice President of the United States bailed because I was there.
It's
hilarious. That happens all the time.
Well, I probably just figured if he sat there, he'd have to have extra Secret Service details.
I'm sure that's what it was.
As a matter of practicality.
I think so.
He was trying to save the taxpayers some money.
Of course he was. Yeah. Of course he was. Tom, I'm going to, when we do our interview later, but that's something I want to kind of talk to you about and drill in on a little bit. How did you piss everybody off so much?
Well, here, why don't we start part of the interview right now?
That's really what Chris is here to do. How did it all come where, like, at some point you became, like, a public enemy?
Because Mike Gelfand will tell you that this is how it happened as well. Our program director decided to take the station conservative. And I went, is that a good idea in Minneapolis, St. Paul? And he goes, yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. You remember that?
I never really understood why we went down that avenue.
I never did either.
I don't think it certainly didn't help any of us sleep better at night.
No, it did not. And by the way, did he ever take a punch for it? No, I did. It's one of those. If you're the face of it, you're going to take all
of course.
The hits. And then, of course, I have that kind of personality that if you attack me, it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah.
So it'll get worse and worse and worse, and that's what happened.
Well, I'd always heard that from people. I mean, my dad lived in the Twin Cities, so I was in town quite a bit. And I knew KQRS, and I knew who you were. But having just, I don't know, moved back 11 years ago or so now, when I started doing appearances on your show, some people were like, geez, I don't know, is that a good idea? And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, he gets political. And I'm like, does he? Because I never really heard you get political. What I've heard you do is called BS on both sides, right?
Like I still do that.
Yeah. So you didn't want to be political.
I was raised by an ardent Democrat named Toots. My mother was a big-time Democrat. And that's why I tell people that I've been a Democrat and I've been a Republican, and I don't really care for either one of them because I don't know anything about being a Republican. I never had enough money to be a good one. And then on the other side, I did not appreciate what the Democratic Party did to me, and therefore I would never think of joining that party again. They went out of their way to harm me and my family. They did.
How so?
By destroying my voiceover career.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It destroyed my voiceover. It cost me a lot of money, man.
Was that based on things that had happened?
It was
on the
based
air,
on the fact. Yeah. Because the show was what it was, they had went on this big campaign. You can't hire him. It was one of those deals.
And your voiceover career, obviously, was like super lucrative, right? Probably still is to some extent.
No, not like it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom's been living in a Quonset hut ever since he lost that.
Why don't you just shut up over there, Buster Brown? No, look, I could have just said to Dave, no, I'm not going to do that, but literally I would have had to leave the station.
Were you guys number one at that point because you were in the run of being number one for so long?
Yeah, 35 years I think we were number one.
Mm-hmm.
Had the highest rated
in
radio,
the country, right?
The highest rated morning show in the country, yeah. And then, of course, whenever I hear a baby crying or something like that, it reminds me of me the day I heard Cumulus was going to buy the station.
You weren't into it, huh?
No. look, I love this over here.
I'm just going to sit back and watch this.
See, this is one of those things that I can't. It's just the way I am. I just can't sit back and go, I'll just pretend that never happened. No, it happened, and, you ask me about it, I'll tell you about it. I don't have any problem with that. What are they going to do?
I mean, ownership changes are, for people who don't get that, outside of the broadcasting industry, they're largely disruptive for the most part.
Oh, because very, very.
Every structure that had been set up in that, you know, broadcast outlet, it pretty much all gets changed.
Yeah.
The managers get changed. Everything you had, you're almost starting over again. So I'm guessing that was...
Well, now it's different, but when I worked for Disney, they owned the station for, what, like 20 years, Mike, something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
You needed something, you got it. Mm-hmm. They supported everything you did. I mean, the station became so huge because of Disney. There's no question. And then after that, the station fell off because of the following two people who owned the station were not committed to winning. They just weren't.
Well, then you know, eventually, Disney, of course, was the best.
Oh, God, it was phenomenal. But now I guess it's not that great.
Well, inevitably, it couldn't be.
Well, that's true.
But after Disney, then come the hedge funds.
That's exactly
what it was, too.
And when
the hedge funds come in, the talent goes out.
That's what seems to, you know.
I am the last person still at KQRS from that era.
Yeah.
Everybody else is gone. I'm the last person remaining. So, you know. And December 23rd, I will not be remaining any longer. But
if you're fascinated by aliens, ghosts, cryptid creatures like Bigfoot, then I have the show for you. The Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader. Each week, we investigate different claims of the supernatural, bringing you the top guests and experts from around the world. Listen on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
TuneIn, Pocket Casts, Deezer, Amazon Music, Audible, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Podcasts.
The Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader.
Dan Chesky's here from Dan's Southside Marine. It won't be long now until we start seeing boats on the water.
Warmer temps and open water are coming soon, Tom. We have inventory in stock now from Alumacraft, Premier, Avalon, and Manitou, with more arriving daily.
What's the secret to finding a boat you're looking for this year, Dan?
My recommendation is to shop now, pick a model, put your name on it. Our team of pros at Dan's Southside Marine will have the knowledge and experience to get the boat you want equipped the way you want it equipped.
What about financing options?
Right now, we are offering low-interest financing options up to 144 months with qualified credit. Ask for details when you visit the store.
Alumacraft fishing boats, Premier, Avalon, and Manitou pontoons, all powered by Suzuki outboards, are in stock now with new boats arriving daily. Dan's Southside Marine is located just 6 blocks west of 35W on 98th Street in Bloomington, or shop online at dansouthsidemarine.com.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Mike Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company, Bradley's partner.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with a lot of multi-generational, family-owned businesses.
Take Raymond Auto Body of St. Paul, for example. Four generations of the Slomkowski family having successfully run the business.
When they were ready to expand, we helped them acquire a new building, allowing them to service more vehicles in their state-of-the-art shop.
We've also helped them set up the next generation of owners, keeping the business and family for years to come.
Tom here. If you want a family business like me or any business, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. I know them and trust them with my banking. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers.
Sounds like we really won you over, Tommy.
Well, let's not get crazy, Brad. Seriously. Why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM. I've made some great friends over there. I mean, not Mike, but
yeah,
friends.
Yeah, I understand.
That was one of the great, if you don't mind me talking about that a little bit. I said, I got a guy, I want to come in and do the show. He's very, very funny. He's a good guy, very clever. And Mike came in and did his interview, and the general manager said, there is no way we're hiring him. That voice is so annoying. I said, that voice is part of why he's so good.
Absolutely.
At what he does. I mean, how do you miss that?
It's distinctive.
Exactly.
It's not everything you're going to hear on every other radio station,
and that was,
right?
That was the thing, you know, because the morning show, we talked about this the other day, but we had like 8 people on a microphone at the same time, and somehow was 8 totally different voices.
Can you imagine how horrible it would have been if everybody talked like
that? That's right.
That's right.
But I mean, you never had to say, now who's that guy talking? Which
No.
Most radio shows, if there's two guys, you can't tell the two apart.
Yeah, because they're both
Yeah, they're pukers. Yeah.
Mike really liked it when he worked with Sansevier because Sansevier doesn't need a mic.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Yeah, he's got a voice, doesn't he?
And I'm still working with Sandy.
You're still working with Sandy. So am I, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. But
no, that was one thing I will say about Hamilton. I do believe he was wrong about the politics. I always will. But he did fight for the Gelfands and the Sansevieres, and he said, "No, Tom's right about that. This is not a disc jockey show."
Yeah,
you know, and you never had any problem with Dave at all, did you?
No.
I don't think so, Sandy didn't.
The only disagreement I ever had with him was with his feeling that I would succeed.
Why did he not
like
that?
Well, I just thought that was ridiculous.
Well, you succeeded.
Yeah, but I didn't think I would.
You know, when my son was 11, he was playing in a basketball tournament, and his mom's, you know, cheering madly from the sidelines. He runs by at one point, and you could tell this was like the onset of puberty, and he goes, "Stop encouraging me."
Oh, those parents.
So, you know, it's just one of those deals. You go through it, just at some point you go, it's time to go. You know, I actually had 5 more years left on my contract.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and I went, no, I don't want to. That's good. We're good.
Are you leaving on good terms?
No.
Okay.
Do I ever, Mike?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I wondered.
What fun would that be?
No, there would be no. It's ridiculously bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not pleasant at all. It just, we have totally different. And I, you know, look, I'm not, I could just go after people like there's no tomorrow. They can do that. I have no interest in doing that kind of thing. But it's just like, I would go to them, and Mike can tell you this is true. I'd go to them and say, that is not going to work. It's going to hurt the show. I really don't think we should do that. Let's not do that over and over again. And people go, oh, it's so frustrating. You're always so angry. And I said, well, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you, it's not going to work. And then when it didn't work, look what you did, Tom. I'm like, what?
That's exactly right.
You've been down that road.
I have.
When it doesn't work, it's your fault. It's like, what?
And then the saddest thing about that is you get the blame, but you never got any of the money.
Nope.
Why don't you shut
I'm
up
sorry.
Over there? Shot right in the gut.
Is it true that they're going to switch formats and go all polka?
I don't know. I
just start
no
that rumor.
I don't know. They're going to. I don't know what they're going to do. It's. I assume they'll stay with Brian and Tony and Candace for a while, but I don't know if they'll do that long. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Yeah, you'd probably be the last person that would know.
Yeah,
they're not going to
sure
tell you
true.
Anything.
Well, the format of the show as it evolved, and obviously the format of the podcast is it's very loose, it's comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, so it should.
It's you're having normal conversations, which it makes it easier for I think people to listen to.
Sure.
Where did you evolve into that kind of a show? Because I mean, when I heard some of your first clips when you're that cat man.
Oh God, 1500.
That's insane.
1500 KSTP.
Like, you don't even sound like the same person.
No. Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I don't sound like my real voice now. I mean, this is my real voice.
Yeah.
But when I came out of North Minneapolis, I never opened my mouth and going to talk like this. All
yeah.
I mean, I just how I talk. So I won't use the word, and you can edit this out anyway, but my very first break on the radio was at 1370 KDAN in St. Paul. Not even there anymore. We were talking about this the other day, as a matter of fact. And so I did the first break. I said, and I'll never forget, my first break was KDAN 1370. Here's Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner. Phone just blows up. Every line's lit up, and they're just, oh, my God, it's just... look how popular I am already, my first break, and everybody loves me. I answer the phone, KDAN. I hear, get that big N off the air. It's like, woo! Yeah, the guy, because I didn't open my mouth and I kind of had that, I got that raspy voice anyway.
Yeah.
The guy thought I was black and called me the big one. It's like, Jesus. Nice start to a career, huh?
Right.
You know, that's
well,
a true
there's only
story.
One direction you could go.
Right, exactly, after that. And I was like, I'll see what I can do for you, sir.
Well, that's interesting because I was going back, listening through audio clips the other day.
Oh, God.
Kind of researching the segment. And listening to your voice evolve, like when you were Catman on 1500, I mean, it was...
It was like really growly.
It was more of what I would, you know, like a Venus Flytrap type fellow.
No doubt about
from
it.
From WKRP.
No doubt about it.
I mean, that's who I saw. And that's the magic of radio, too, right? Because nobody really knows until
they
see you. But then at what point did you start to sort of lean on your pipes a little bit more? Because I think the thing that, you know, you've gotten all the work with voiceover work is because you've got that, like, big, throaty, you know.
Because I did take some voice lessons and stuff to get out and learn how to open my mouth when I talk. Because, mm-hmm. honestly, in my neighborhood, it's like, how you doing? How's everything going?
Yeah.
That's how everybody talks, right? But... Yeah, so I did take some voice lessons from very, very good people, and it all worked out. You know, you got to make an effort, there's no question. Well, I worked with Dr. Brock. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Mm-mm. Brock. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana, and he kind of talked like this all the time. He's got that southern accent and all that whole deal, but honest to God, I thought he was God. I really
did. Sure.
He worked at WCFL in Chicago and then came to KSTP and worked with me there.
Yeah.
Chuck Knapp, Charlie Bush. I mean, you go back... You know how lucky I was at the first major market job I ever got? I was only 21 years old. I wasn't even that old. I was 20, I think. And here I am working with legendary radio people. I got very, very lucky. And people ask me, how did you ever get hired at KSTP? You had very little. I mean, it was a KDAN, and then I went up to Grand Forks. And I know it's hard to believe, but I got fired. laugh it up, Sprinthal. Yeah, pill. But... I called Jim Chanel was the program director at the time at KSTP, who became in Chicago. He left as our program director and went to on the air in Chicago as Captain Whammo.
Oh no!
Oh, and he remembers Captain Whammo.
I'm the one who brought him up last week, right?
Oh, that's right, you did. Yeah, Captain Whammo.
I said, "Who's the name of the guy who gave you the name Catman?"
And it was Captain Whammo.
Sure was.
Well,
even before I was born.
With a name like that, you would have to be able to birth many, many great ideas,
true.
Right?
And no question about that.
That would go over very well at KOKK.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. You know, the certain length to it that would really.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But in any case.
It kind of grows on you.
But I do look back at that now, Chris. I really do look back and go, how did I ever get this job? But then I do remember I called Chanel 82 times. 82 times I called him, and he finally hired me to do the Jesus tapes on Sunday. Which, by the way, sounded really good. Yeah, here's Jesus. You know, it was one of those.
Times 1153.
1153. Jesus here with you, man. Everything's good. Man. So, but then, seriously, Steve Hatley, he was a guy, unfortunately, oh, God, here's a story. Do you remember the name Steve Hatley at all? Have you ever heard it? He was our midday guy at KSTP back in 1972, 73, when it all started. He came from WHBQ in Memphis. And WHBQ was Elvis Presley's radio station. He used to hang out there every day back in the day, right? So Hatley's coming out once, and Elvis is coming in, getting off his brand-new motorcycle, this beautiful motorcycle. And Hatley walks by and goes, Elvis, man, that's a beautiful motorcycle. Elvis goes, here, you can have it. He gave him his motorcycle. Okay. Now, the bad part of that is, a few years later, Steve Hatley was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, no.
So there you go, baby. Oh my. Isn't that weird with life? Elvis gave you a motorcycle, and then you died in a motorcycle accident. It's not how life's supposed to work.
There's a lesson in that for all of us.
I guess there is, isn't it?
Elvis is God, apparently.
Yeah, apparently Elvis is God, exactly. But
well, I thought the lesson was don't drive a motorcycle.
Well,
that's the other lesson, I suppose.
Or don't give anything away. So there are a lot of lessons, really.
Buzz kill.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I am very honest about things. I'm not going to tell people, oh, no, everything is all right. When it's not, I'm not going to do that. But people do need to understand how grateful I am for – I just broke through. I should not have ever broken through in a big market, like what was the number, market number 14 at the time or whatever, Minneapolis-St. Paul. I've worked with some great people over the years at KQRS and all the way back 1500 KSTP. Did you hear what Ginny said the other day about
mm-hmm.
Pill. We're talking to a bunch of people, and I was talking about the time I was at the local Hall of Fame or something or whatever, and I was up on stage doing a speech, and Ginny was out in the audience, and I said, "There's a person out in the audience right now. I'm still upset with her, Ginny Hubbard, of course, because She was only 6 years old when she fired me. And she goes, I was two. Which I thought was a great line. I love Ginny. I do. Ginny was great to work for. I mean, just the, well, I didn't work for her at first because she was 6 years old when I met her.
Right.
You know, I won't say how long ago that was, Ginny, just in case you hear this, because if I say how long ago it was, they'll know how old you are now. But she's not that old, actually.
No, and they love her. They love her on the radio side.
Oh, God, yeah, she's terrific.
That's where she's at. I mean, just...
She's terrific. And Dan Seaman, her guy, does a really good job, too. And again, if I didn't like him, I'd tell you, I don't care for those people.
Yeah.
But they do, they were great to work with and for and all the rest of it. I mean, there's a possibility someday I might end up over there on the podcast side of things, too.
Sure.
I've talked to them about that before. They do a terrific job with that, you know.
Yeah, they've really embraced that, which
they
I think
have.
Is smart.
I mean, Joe Souchere is killing it, which mm-hmm. is great to see, you know. And Joe's a great guy, too. But I do want to emphasize that I do have that side to me where I'm not going to lie. But I also have a side I'm very, very grateful for everything that happened, all the people that I've met, every places I've ever worked. I mean, to be at a radio station for April 16th, it would have been 37 years. So it'll be just a few, about 90 days short of 37 years. That doesn't happen.
No.
It used to back in, like, you know, Boone and Erickson, I think we're around for, what, 34 years, something like that? Somewhere in that ballpark, anyway.
That was the first thing I heard when we moved to Minnesota in 1971.
Boone and Erickson.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in from Eau Claire, my dad turned on CCO. I'm like, where are we? And I'm from Massachusetts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Moving out here in January, I'm like, did I do something
what
wrong?
What happened, right?
Right.
Well, dad, are you running from the law?
Why do they talk funny?
You know, I want to ask you a question about this, because I feel the same way about radio, and I want to get your take on television. When I left and moved to New York in 1978, I think it was, 1978, I think we moved to New York, I turned on the news in New York City, and I went, this news is dreadfully bad. I mean, it's just bad, because the only places I'd ever been, spent a lot of time, was living in Minneapolis and in Chicago, the two best TV markets in this country. Chicago and Minneapolis are the two best news. They are. Do you know any better?
Well, I mean, everything's subjective, right? Like, you know, what's the best? It's almost like saying what's the best
city. It's real.
There's something to people have always considered both Minneapolis and Chicago as very desirable.
Oh, no doubt.
The people who work in those cities in the broadcasting industry and in TV, like they're, you know, top shelf type talent and, you know, really, and you look at somebody in New York who's it's much higher up on the market size and I'm sure a lot more money too. You know, I don't really know why New York is never, because it's the number one market. And when I
by far,
and when I was just out there this spring and I was watching their news and, you know, I couldn't look at what was happening on the screen there and look that anything they were doing was, you know, distinctively different from anything that we were doing with things here. I just think there's more people there, obviously, and so you're impacting a bigger population of people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I never thought much of New York either. I was like,
well, I'll be
what's
honest
the big
with you.
Deal? Because
Dave Moore was one of the greatest newscasters of all time. There's no doubt about that. But the Don Shelby's of the world, and the Ron Majors, and the Paul Majors, there were so many great ones in this market. And in Chicago, you had all these great people. I go to New York, and I tune in. Hey, good evening. Great having you with us. I'm like, what the heck? This is New York, isn't it?
I do know that in the industry, people like picking people from Chicago and Minneapolis they have a dialect that's it's usually not very regional. It's just
it's very natural.
And that's, I slip into my Minnesotan and my South Dakotan every once in a while, too. But for the most part, I know that was Brokaw's big deal was just because of his, you know, the way he talked. It didn't sound like he was from anywhere.
He had the R that he had a problem with?
The L's.
That's right. Yeah, he had that problem.
Maybe that was a bad example to draw from, but he.
No, but he was. Yeah.
He had such a distinctive voice.
Phenomenal.
Right.
And just brilliant man, great guy. The whole shoot match. But I mean, that's the whole thing that I'm kind of when I leave on December 23rd, and I don't know that I'm going to last that long anyway.
Cause,
you know, they're going to at some point come to me and go, you know what, maybe you should just stay
home. Well, it's hard
now
to not get the short-timer thing, right? Like, when you know you're leaving. Like,
good for you, kids.
anybody who I've ever known who was, you know, heading out somewhere, it's hard to keep the same level of concentration. It's hard to keep the same level of enthusiasm because you're like, well, I'm in XYZ, I'm going to be gone from here anyway.
But, of course, it's radio, and radio, you know, every day is your last day.
No, that's true. It has been in a lot of jobs I've had. I know that.
Well, but I mean, I was there 25 years, but I never, you know, like, every time I took out my fob, I was never absolutely convinced it would open the door.
I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
My favorite story is the one Moon tells about when he...
Oh, I love Moon, too.
We've all become really good friends, and he's starting out 17 years old, working at the local station, and part of his job was he had to do the crime report, so he'd go down to the police station, get the docket, and then kind of report on it. And the final story he did was, and police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Larry Thompson for possession with the intent to distribute marijuana. This is Larry Thompson reporting.
The owner it took me a second. I forgot about him.
Drove right down, fired him on the spot, and then hired him back a year later. Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
What a great guy. That's another thing I will tell you. You know, working with the Hubbards, they have hired people from other markets like Moon that have come in and just killed because he's very, very good at what he does. I mean, just he's terrific. Ginny's been pretty good at hiring people over the years. There's no doubt about it. Don't tell her I said this. I'll never hear the end of it, you know.
I generally try to avoid anybody with the last name Hubbard's office in any way, shape, or form. Just because in a perfect world, they're doing their thing and I'm doing my thing.
I'm 20, maybe still 19. You know that one hall, that one set of stairs that used to be, it's just before you get into the newsroom. You open a door, you go up the stairs, then you open another door.
That place is a maze.
It is a maze. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm in a big hurry to get to my buddy's house.
I already know what's going to happen here.
So what I used to do is I used to run down the stairs and kick the door open, take a right, kick that door open, and just head down the hallway, right? I kick the first door open, go down, kick the door. It goes about 6 inches and stops. I open the door, and it's Stanley Hubbard Sr. With a cigar smashed against his face.
Famous for his sense of humor.
he did not have a sense of humor about that. And I literally, honest to God, sorry, I'm just the janitor here, because he didn't know who the hell I was.
Chris Eggert.
Yeah, my name is Chris Eggert.
Do you see that guy kicking doors? I just tried to catch him, but he ran away.
I don't know why.
He hit somebody else downstairs, too.
If you're fascinated by aliens, ghosts, cryptid creatures like Bigfoot, then I have the show for you. The Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader. Each week, we investigate different claims of the supernatural, bringing you the top guests and experts from around the world. Listen on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
TuneIn, Pocket Casts, Deezer, Amazon Music, Audible, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts.
The Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader.
Tommy, do you guys read a lot of poetry on the queue?
You mean like, there once was a man from Nantucket?
No, more like T.S. Eliot.
April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Dougie, what's wrong? You a little sad?
No, other than the weather, nothing's wrong. In fact, in the Walzer world, Coon Rapids and Burnsville finished number 1 and 2 in the state of Minnesota. J-Lo finally beat Dan Resch.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Is it okay if I take all the credit?
Well, I'd expect nothing less. Actually, we've got great inventory of some great vehicles, and these short-term leases are perfect for people who can't get the brands that they want.
You told me about those. You can drive a new Nissan for as little as 18 months, and by then the chips will be aplenty.
That's it exactly. We hope by then you'll be a Walzer Nissan convert.
For great deals from the Minnesota sales leaders, go to Burnsville or Coon Rapids Nissan. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try, yeah, to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether, yep, or not you decide, yep, you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Hey, this is Brian Zepp. Summer is finally here, and if you're like me, you've got some serious riding planned. Make sure you and your motorcycle are good to go with Dennis Kirk. Whatever you ride, Harley, Indian, metric cruiser, or sport bike, you'll find what you need at Dennis Kirk. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Clothing and helmets, too. Order before 8 p.m., and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. Follow Zepp's lead and head to DennisKirk.com. They ship today.
You know, remember the old story about when they decided to fire Cannon?
Oh, yeah.
Cannon was, I guess he was, well, he would have been, he wouldn't doing the morning show then, right?
He was in on mornings, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he knew that Stanley came in, you know, like about 10 minutes after the morning show ended.
Uh-oh.
So they tried to fire Cannon for like 4 months, but he always got out the door faster than Stanley,
yeah,
got in.
Cannon was damn good. Again, look at the talent in this town.
Yeah.
Cannon was one of the best afternoon guys I've ever heard. I never heard him in the morning. Maybe he's really good in the morning, too. But, I mean, yeah, I still, my favorite is, you could tell after you got to know Cannon. Did you ever meet Cannon?
No.
Phenomenal talent. But he had his, what was it, Morgan Monday and his character, yeah, that he played all the time, right? So, he's doing a commercial for Christmas. It's time for... Gang, it's time for Christmas dinner, and if you're going to look it over, you want to take a look at, what was the big, the ham place again? Honey sliced or honey baked?
Honey baked.
Yeah. Honey baked. You're asking a Jewish guy about the
yeah,
ham.
Yeah, why am I asking a Jew about ham?
Who would know more?
Exactly.
Know thy enemy.
Hey, exactly. Yeah, no, it's not our enemy. I mean,
forbidden fruit.
So forbidden fruit is it, yeah.
I don't know who wrote the copy, but the Cannon's live on the air, and he goes, yeah, more, we're going to get together. Family's going to go down to Honey Baked Ham, going to pick one up and go home. Morg, I don't know if you know this or not, but their hams are spittle sliced. There was a pause. And he goes, Ken, let me ask you a question. You say spittle sliced. And he just went on and on about spiral becoming spittle, which I thought it was very, very, but you could tell he was livid the whole time.
I'm sure.
You had to know him to know how pissed off he was about that, though. It was a...
So spittle sliced, huh, Steve-O?
You remember what Cannon said.
What?
Calvin Griffiths said that, you know, I really can't stand that Steve Cannon, but I like Morgan Monday.
I like Morgan Monday, that's right. Same person, but, you know, other than
he
that.
He really didn't know it was the same person.
It was Calvin.
Well, I've never met the former owner of the team.
Calvin was quite the... figure.
I heard he was a character.
He was definitely a character, but, you know.
So, this is off topic a little bit, but you're talking about advertising and reading live copy and how that is. I mean, you pretty much have, for the most part, unless it's an endorsement type thing, you get to, like, deviate from the script, but you're trying to hit.
Doug,
well, that's what I'm talking. I want to ask you, Doug, at one point when you were, you know, trying to get more, more business. And from an advertising standpoint, did you ever, you know, get into the, you know, the kitschy, corny, kind of goofy type commercials, or were
always? So our strategy was actually totally the opposite of that. We were trying to, you know, auto dealer advertising is generally horrible because it makes it sound like Toyota's just built the last Corolla in the history of the car.
You better hurry and get it by 10 o'clock.
There's a formula, right? Yeah.
It's terrible. So when we started out, we were doing scripted stuff, but they were funny and they weren't, you know, it wasn't pitchy.
Yeah.
And that really resonated. And then They fired, Cumulus fired the general manager of the station, a guy named Pete Frisch. And my marketing director was a huge fan of theirs. They flew in, and he, we were saber-rattling a little bit. They yep. flew in the VP from Cumulus to have lunch with us, and it's myself and the marketing director, Alan, and Tom, and the sales rep, Pat Eberts, and then this guy that looks stunningly like
Mitt Romney. Looked just like him.
It was like 2010. And so we're having a nice little lunch, and all of a sudden my friend Alan looks at him and says, look, we love Tom. We love Pat, we love Pete Frisch, and we hate you. So we're going to do live spots on your station, or we're going to walk. Yeah. And the guy went right back on his heels, and he goes, well, what do you think? And Tom is like, fucking A, this is great. You're right. Says, I'm in. And so the guy says, well, I'll have to talk to the program director. And it's like, you're the vice president of the company. You don't have to talk to anybody. So that's really where it started.
Yeah.
And the strategy has worked out really well. I mean, we do have sales every once in a while. But it's like Seinfeld. They're car ads that don't really talk about cars.
Yeah.
And it's just because the KQ listeners are so different than almost every other station. To the morning show, they're incredibly loyal. Once they feel like they know who I am, and you know when you're on the radio or TV, people think they know you, even though they really don't.
Right.
And I shorten my email address. I get, I don't know, 30 emails a week from listeners. Either we screwed something up, which is rare, but I just got one of those, or they want advice, or what should I do, and what do you think? And it's just, and it's because of that. And they always, the letters all start out with, been listening to you and Tom screw around for the last 15 years, and now I actually have a question.
Well, I think that gets back to, I feel what gives people success in this industry, real success, and that's being authentic.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, you guys were talking earlier about the screamers or the guys who are talking like that. And I think particularly people in Minnesota seem to really see through phony very quickly.
Yeah, I think that's
good bullshit detectors.
For sure. And that I've always enjoyed that about listening to the show and listening when you're on there, because you guys are just, you know, shooting the breeze. It's not, you're not sitting up there trying to hype XYZ amount of sales this and that and whatever.
And we know that at any given moment, only 3 or 4% of the population is in the market to buy a car.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Oh,
so
really?
Why bore the other 96%? If you just keep them top of mind, I will tell you, I don't keep very many of those commercials, but one that I kept, and this is probably from 6 years ago.
Was I out that day?
No, you had Gilbert Gottfried in the studio, and you called me up, and Gilbert starts playing Jew or Not a Jew. And he goes, Doug, that's not a Jew name. Well, Sprintall, I'd have to see how it's spelled. And it went, I'm like,
Gilbert was
don't
phenomenal.
Send this to the Walzers, but it was really, and it went on for like 5 minutes.
God,
so when you're willing, sounds
to,
like
when you're
was
willing
like,
to do that, then
course.
People go, you know, and some people think I'm an a-hole, but most of them are like, that's pretty funny.
Well, nobody thinks you're an a-hole.
Everybody, there's always somebody that doesn't like everybody.
I think they feel like they know you.
You
which,
probably have people that don't like you.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why?
We don't, I mean, well, for us, we're all partisan, of course.
Because
I'm fake news now.
Right.
I am.
Oh, you're the
mainstream media.
I'm fake news.
So it was you that threw the election?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make
I
found him, Mike.
Election I got to add one more line
He's
to what
one.
He told you.
Yeah.
Because you forgot one thing about what that dope said after Alan Crutch went after him. I loved Alan, too, by the way. I just love the guy. He was the one who said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do live commercials, whether you like him or not.
Yeah.
And the guy said, he looks at me and says, well, that's not how we do it in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, my God.
You don't remember that?
No, I forgot that.
Oh, my God. I looked at him like, are you pulling my
tit? That's the biggest. when somebody comes in from where XYZ, like, how many times over the years I've heard that?
Was
that supposed to be a homey kind of thing to say?
Yeah, probably homey, maybe.
You know,
Poughkeepsie.
I mean, won't play in Peoria, kind of thing.
Won't play in Peoria.
Absolutely is what that is.
Ah, okay.
But, you know, that's the one thing I will tell you about being on the show for so long, and it's not because Doug is here and all the rest of it, but the fact that Hamilton said, no, that's a great idea. Those commercials sound phenomenal. Hamilton, I didn't agree with him about the political thing, but pretty much everything else, he nailed it. There's no this is a guy, he had to beg them to hire me because they didn't want to hire me because I'm so pleasant to work with.
Obviously.
Obviously, it's just a kind of a, right, Mike?
Hey. You know, I never wanted to be in radio.
I know you didn't.
But there wasn't any other radio station in the world that would have hired me.
Why?
Because I didn't sound like I was in radio.
You're funny, for Christ. You're very smart, funny guy. I hate being nice to you.
Since when does radio care about that?
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Any industry, I suppose.
Yeah, no one would confuse you with Don Imus. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, probably not.
Talk about a voice that doesn't fit the body.
Yeah.
Imus? I got a new... Oh, go ahead, sir.
No.
I have a new Imus story that I love.
Yeah.
And I can't say who it was, but might have been somebody I worked with. Imus is leaving the air, right? He's going to retire. And so my friend, I can't say his name either because he'll get, but I've got a very good friend who's no longer with Cumulus, but he and I became really good friends. First name is Mike. Last name is McVeigh. But anyway, yeah, so Mike McVeigh and I have become really, really good
legendary.
Friends. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. Protected the on-air people more than anybody ever, right? So the new president of the company is going to go with McVeigh to visit Imus and try to talk him into staying. And Mike says to him, whatever you do, do not call him Don. You can either call him I-Man or Imus. Do not call him Don. He hates being called Don.
How about Captain Whammo?
Yeah, how about Captain Whammo, exactly. So they go in, new president. What a pleasure to meet you, Don. and Imus looks at McVeigh and he goes, what the, what is that? Didn't you tell him? He goes, yeah, I told him. It's just nobody pays attention anymore. I don't know. Why would you do that? Can you explain why he would have done that?
It seems like it's a power move, right? Like, that guy's like, I don't care who you are.
Exactly right. Yeah. See, I read it as this, I'm in charge
here. I don't care if you're... Don Imus, you want to call me, I'm not going to call you I-Man, I'm going to say Don.
Well, I think that's exactly what it was. I agree with you. It's a power move. Didn't work out too well because I was saying, goodbye.
So, you
I'm
know,
leaving.
Talk about the voice thing.
Yes, sir.
So, I'd been on the radio station for like a week, right?
Yeah.
And there's a guy who worked at the station, and he had a really nice voice. Wonderful, smooth radio voice.
Lastman?
No, this is another guy who worked there. I don't want to say who it was.
Okay, all right.
Nice enough guy, but he comes up to me, and he was obviously not happy that I was there. And I know it's hard to believe.
It's a good thing you never told me that.
I never alienated anyone. No, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to fight your own battles, and this guy was a lightweight anyway. So let's face it. So he comes up to me and says, I'm getting... This is about the fourth day, so I'm getting calls, man. I'm getting so many calls. They're,
good.
You know, I'm probably getting 20 calls already. People, they're asking about you. They're saying, who's this guy with the shitty voice?
Said Tom Bernard.
Yeah, I guess he just wasn't.
So how do you respond to that then? Like,
exactly.
I responded by being there the next week.
That's what I mean. Like,
and he wasn't.
What do you want me? Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think, anybody who's been around this business for any amount of time realizes too that there are a lot of middle managers who come and go, and if you're valued in your community, you'll be there long after.
Well, honestly, I thought I was going to be there for a couple weeks and then I'd be gone anyway. So
I hired you. How are you going to be gone in two weeks?
You
didn't know me very well then, did you?
Oh, I know you pretty well, but
because nobody was going to fire you, that was not going
to
happen.
But you have to understand, you're talking to a self-loathing person.
Well, that's true. That's a given. Yeah, that's.
So you're disappointed you weren't fired.
I just kept thinking, well, who are these maggots who wouldn't fire me?
When am I going to get what I deserve?
Exactly.
Stick with the narrative, damn it.
God, it's unbelievable. Nah, what the hell? Wasn't that a ball, though, Mike?
It's a lot of fun.
I will, honest to God, I will never forget that when the thing started to blow up, Hamilton, remember how wound up he got about the ratings and all the rest of it? But it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then, you know, Markey Rosen ran for governor, and that thing just blew sky high. And then the Twins, and I talk to Herbeck about this all the time. When... We did predict on KQRS before the season started that the Twins would win the World Series in 1987.
Well, you did. I said they'd finish last.
You didn't have to tip your hat.
I'm just saying you saw it coming.
We were just talking about that this morning. I was talking to Herbeck about that this morning, that I don't know. I just had a feeling that I just liked the way things had come together. It had been there for... I think 4 years at that point. I think Herbeck first came up in 82, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I said the Twins are going to win the World Series this year. and I, you know, stuck to it. And then, of course, Herbeck brought up this morning that the Twins are out of first place now for the first time this season, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, at least in a couple months, I think, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And Herbeck said, well, the same thing happened in 87, and everybody thought, well, you know, because they went after me for saying they're going to win the World Series, and then they fell out of first place. Or maybe they didn't fall out of first place, but in a tie for first place, something like that.
Yeah.
It was one or the other about that whole deal. But my favorite thing, I appear on television doing an interview with Herbeck and Gaetti. Mm-hmm. And Gaetti on live television says to me, man, how did you know we were going to win the World Series? It's unbelievable that you knew we were going to win the World Series. Why did you think that? And I just said, I always think that. I just kind of blew him off. He's like, you pain in the ass. It was terrific. Again, looking at that, and I don't want to come across as I am ungrateful for KQRS. For most of it, it was just heaven. It was fantastic. But the business, it's not just KQRS or Cumulus or whatever. The business has changed a lot. So they can't be blamed for everything.
Yeah.
Most things, but not everything.
But don't you think
I love entertaining Sprinthal. It's my favorite
it's
thing.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm having the most fun just sitting back and watching his you. Face.
Don't you think you're always going to be better off when you have nothing to lose?
If I am.
Yeah.
Mike, you're absolutely right. I literally want to be in a situation where I had nothing to lose.
And that's probably not the situation there now.
No, and that's probably why it was time for me to go.
If you're fascinated by aliens, ghosts, cryptid creatures like Bigfoot, then I have the show for you. The Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader. Each week, we investigate different claims of the supernatural, bringing you the top guests and experts from around the world. Listen on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
TuneIn, Pocket Cast, Deezer, Amazon Music, Audible, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts.
The Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader.
And we are back with Stretch's Picks.
You know, Tom, there's a lot of analysis that goes into these picks.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend betting, of course. I always recommend betting.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's winning this thing? The Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
I know, but it's a hell of an HVAC company. They do the most thorough system tune-up in the industry. Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre. Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
It's also the smartest time to call and schedule your furnace tune-up with Sabre. Get the most thorough tune-up in the industry from the people who keep my home comfortable.
Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SabreHeating.com.
And we are back with Stretch's Picks.
You know, Tom, there's a lot of analysis that goes into these picks.
Yeah?
And I highly recommend betting, of course. I always recommend betting.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's winning this thing? The Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
I know, but it's a hell of an HVAC company. They do the most thorough system tune-up in the industry. Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre. Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
It's also the smartest time to call and schedule your furnace tune-up with Sabre. Get the most thorough tune-up in the industry from the people who keep my home comfortable.
Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SabreHeating.com.
Tom here for Continuum Weight and Well-Being. Continuum is here, it's new, and they're doing it differently. There are no meal replacements or foods you're required to purchase. There are no pills or surgeries. They specialize in customizing meal plans for you using all whole nutritious foods. They don't just focus on weight loss. They are upfront with their pricing, and most importantly, Continuum is designed for long-term success. Schedule a free consultation and find out more today. Go to their website, ContinuumWeightWellbeing.com, or call or text them at 952-491-6527. That's Continuum, ContinuumContinuum, ContinuumWeightWellbeing.com. I've learned so much from them, and I know you will too. Continuum Weight and Well-Being, life beyond weight loss mode. You know, just it's a whole different setup. It's a whole different deal, and it just Yeah, there's no question there's some woke politics involved in this, too. As, you know, me being an older honky is not real pleasing for some people. I don't know. Whatever. They can do whatever they want to
Speaking of honkies, we have Mike Bryant on the phone.
Honky!
Yeah. First time caller.
Get off my show.
So I got a call for the car guy. So how can I be in St. Cloud and gas is $3.45?
It's a great
question.
And I
get to Monticello and it's $3.99.
Yep.
What is going on?
As you know, my wife is from Hastings and works there. And when we don't have the kids, we'll often stay in the boat right in the marina near Hastings. And they've been in a gas war down there for the last 6 months, and it was $3.28.
Wow.
So yeah.
It's still bad, but wow.
I pitched a story to this for my favorite local news organization, and I don't...
CCO wouldn't run it?
And then I went to my second choice.
Yeah, there you go.
So they talked about it, and I don't know that it ever got executed, maybe because there's not a real answer, but, I mean... Outstate, we're hearing from all kinds of people, even as far like Buffalo and Hastings. That's not very far away. I was up in St. Joseph this last weekend, and it's 40 cents cheaper than it is in the city.
And it gives you an idea how much markup's in it, because it is a state law that gas, you can't sell gas below cost as a retailer.
Below 6 cents above cost.
There's a minimum margin that they have to. So that gives you an idea of the probably the markup. I don't know. I'm not a. I don't own a gas station.
Yeah.
Well, if you find the
20
cheapest...
miles apart and a 40% difference in price,
that
can't
markup.
Be the cost of the fuel.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you find the cheapest gas in the state, in Minnesota at least, not all states have a law like this, but that's how you're going to find cost basically, because the cheapest gas in the state is going to be cost.
Yep.
Anything above that is markup or shipping, that kind of thing. If the gas has to go an additional 200 miles, and obviously they're going to be paying extra for shipping, fuel costs,
that sort of thing. And that's why I said, if they're within 30 miles of each other, their costs I can't imagine they'd be different.
I mean, St. Cloud isn't that far away.
No.
So it's not like we're talking about International Falls.
Right.
So
right,
if you want cheap gas, go to Hastings and go to the M&H station, because not only do they have $3.30 a gallon gas, but it's also one of the few broasted chicken retailers in the upper Midwest.
Which now you're talking.
Actual,
Mildas.
Made by an actual
go to
Mildas.
You got roasted chicken.
Not just a label.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Quick Trip actually has surprisingly good rotisserie chicken.
They're good, but... Roasted chicken.
No, we're arguing
M&H.
About roasted chicken.
Listen,
for
roasted chicken is an important topic.
Look
really
at what
is.
You can learn on the podcast.
Well, I will tell you that it's funny that Michael Bryant called in today to talk to you about gas prices and all the rest of it, because as my personal attorney, here's what I say, I hear Michael say all the time. I'll say something, he'll go,
what?
I love that attitude. When I say something really off the wall to somebody, I love it how you go, yeah, well, that's good. I just love that, Michael. No question about it. So what do you think of the show today? You've been listening a long time?
I have not. I just got in the car and drove and have been driving and been on the phone with people all the time. And saw the $3.99 and thought I would call Doug and have him explain it to me.
That it's Doug's fault.
I wish I had a better explanation. I just have a guess. But I think it would make
it's
a great news story. I'm surprised they didn't.
My guess is they can't really find an answer. There's so many different variables to it. But then again, I'm like, well, that's still a story. Explain that to people. But listen, they only pay me to run my mouth over there. That's it.
Right.
Right. Me too. That's the whole deal.
So they don't go, you got 22 minutes, ad lib, go. That's it?
I mean, that happens more It happens more often than you
Does
think.
Does it really?
Yeah, and it's usually when the S is hitting the fan. Like the computers have gone down and we can't roll video or can't do commercial breaks or something. And then at that point, you just go.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Do you like that? Is that fun?
I do, actually.
Because, some people are good at ad-libbing. Yeah. Other people, if it's not written down, they don't know what to do.
I'm far more energized on a breaking news day when there's something happening we're throwing the scripts away and we're just, going on the fly. I think that's why a lot of people would get into what I do.
Yeah.
Not to... sit there and read the same thing for 6 hours straight every day.
F you, San Diego.
Hey, whatever works.
That
whatever
happens,
works.
That happens.
That's all. I can't believe we've only got 9 minutes left. That blew by.
It's odd. You get a room full of highly verbal people and time goes
Doug, do you
fast.
Feel you often are ever talking about cars?
We do from time to time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that frustrating to you when it gets off topic?
No. It doesn't bother me at all because, I want people to know that it really is an ad and we do sell them. But it has to be something interesting. I don't want to pitch, a really boring model or, we've been talking a lot about electric cars lately as a side because there's a lot of interest in it. And the electric car market has doubled this year to 6%.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty explosive growth, and people have a variety of feelings about it. We've managed to politicize propulsion systems and automobiles for some. I don't know how that happened, but it's there. So no, it doesn't frustrate me.
Well, oil's been politicized for what, 1,500 years or so.
Right. Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's
good.
Been a while.
It's just a long-term commercial in the end.
I'm sorry, caller, you're breaking up. Can you call back on a different line?
See, he knows how to do it.
He does. He's got it dialed right in.
Wilder.com.
You're a seasoned veteran right there.
I will tell you the trick.
I'm sorry. I think we lost the connection here.
It's back during the recession, every news outlet in town wanted to talk to car dealers, and car dealers were just scared to death. And I said, I think we can kind of use this to our advantage if we sound like the voice of reason. Yeah. It's brand building, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, and he says, let me think about it. A week later, somebody came in from 9 or 11, I think, and was interviewing one of the salesmen in the used car lot. And this was the summer gas went to $4 a gallon, and everybody freaked out. And the salesman goes, this isn't really the lot anymore. We call this the cemetery because I don't know how we're going to sell these. Well, Paul Walter saw this and he goes, okay, from now on, media calls, Doug, you talk to him. So I'm just like, and I screwed up the first one. And I realized quickly that, when you do a taped interview, you might have 10 or 12 minutes of content, but they're only going to show 35 seconds.
Yep.
I mean, car salesmen aren't that exciting.
No, you're
so the very
find that
first
out
one,
when this all gets
right,
cut down
right,
for your
cut
story
down to 12
goes.
Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Whatever works.
The very first one was about, they were asking about fuel economy cars, and they asked about Priuses, and I said, if you got a pistol and a bag full of 50s, you can't buy a Prius. They're all sold out. And of course, that's what they put in. So I'm like, I see how this works. And then you guys always do the same thing. At the very end of the interview, they'll say, is there anything that you wished I'd asked you? There's some variation of that question. Yeah. So if you're really, and in my mind, it's like, hey, this is really what I want to talk about. And I could usually kind of slide it into the story a little bit, but it was fun. And it worked really, really well. It was got so bad that David Luther called up Paul and said, those aren't news stories, they're advertising. And Paul goes, they're only ads if you pay for them.
there you go.
Anyway, it was fun.
That never happened in America anywhere before.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, that's
really
true.
I didn't know that.
Oh, we were the first ones to ever do what you and I do.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yes. Nobody had ever done something like that. Well, first of all, I will say quickly, and if Michael's still with us, he knows this would be true as well, because I was in radio for about 5, 6, 7 years, and then I got out of, I didn't get out of radio, I got fired again. But anyway, I took a job at Capitol Records doing promotion for Capitol Records in the central part of the United States. So I learned how to do business, So then when I came back to radio, all of a sudden, most radio people, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but most people will not even talk to clients. They'll say hello.
It's really, they might do a spec ad, but that's about it.
They won't go to dinner with you. They won't hang out with you and all the rest of it. But I had become so accustomed to dealing with customers that I was very comfortable with it. Well, all of a sudden, Doug comes along and Michael Bryant comes along. And, you just go down the long list of people. And I could see the look on your face like, you're going to talk to us? I can't even believe that.
Well, the first time I met you, I was intimidated. And we were doing a script that I wrote, and I'm like, God, I've never met this guy. I've been listening to him like everybody since the 80s. And we sat down and we did something, and I don't remember what the line was, but I wrote a couple of funny ones in there, and you started laughing. And then we finished the spot, and he goes, nah, shit, I'm sorry about that. Let's go back and do it again. I was laughing. I said, don't take that out.
Yeah.
Leave
exactly.
that
It's authentic.
Alone.
That's because it goes back to
that. Yeah, because then it sounds fun, and it makes people lean in, so.
But, I mean, that's it. And now I have all these friends in the business that I've made. And Doug and I have become very, very good friends, not because we work together or because he buys commercials or because our wives get along really, really well. And same with, the Mike Bilskys of the world, and you get on the whole list of people.
I don't like Bilsky.
I don't care for Bilsky.
Plus, he gets that good stuff from Colorado.
Ooh, Bilski,
you know, the
does?
Chocolate bars. No, on the Doug.
Oh, Doug, yeah, yes. Yeah. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Bilski on marijuana. Boy, wouldn't that be something, Andy?
Mm.
Let me think about it again. Bilski after hitting the geef. No, that ain't working. That's never going to happen. No, maybe a beer. That might be a little different.
Can I tell the Las Vegas weed story?
I would love to hear that story.
So
it's a great
we were
story.
Out there a few years ago, and it was legal. It first became legal in Las Vegas, and KQ's doing a listener trip live radio show. So we're hanging out one night. A couple of people at the station say, hey, let's go down to the dispensary and check it out. So we're like, okay, you know, I wasn't a user, but I just always curious how it works. So we get there. And there's a big, I mean, the security in these places is incredible, especially
huge,
in Vegas. And when you think about it, it's a cash business.
Right.
So there's double checks before you get in. And we're standing out in line, and, you know, Tom's behind me. There's a couple of people behind him. We're just talking. And this guy behind Tom goes, excuse me, are you Tom Bernard? He goes, why, yes, I am. He goes, yeah, I lived in Wisconsin 30 years ago. I used to listen to you all the time. And I heard that voice, and they said it must be 30 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I can see relatives of mine 5 years later, and I'm like, who the hell are you?
Good job. It's my son, ladies and gentlemen, right there. My son, Andy. Wise
Keeping
guy.
It real, man.
Keeping it real. All right, you got 3 minutes to wrap it up there, Dougie.
Well, we can feel the question from the listeners.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is supposed to be an interview with Chris, but, you know.
Ended up, you know, a little bit.
He can come back.
That's true. You can always come back. You just got to bring all the cameras and everything, though.
What's the listeners? What's the questions?
Joe wants to know if you've ever thrown your leg at anybody.
No, but I do often take it off for little kids who are in the TV station and entertain them
cool.
with it.
That's
I'm
phenomenal.
Like, here, kid, and then you watch their face just drop.
That's fantastic.
Is the reaction generally negative or positive?
Negative.
Oh, yeah?
Positive.
Oh.
Very generally
really?
Positive.
Oh.
Little kids. And then the little kid holds it, and I take a picture of the kid. I'm like, ah. So, yeah.
You know, I kind of like the fact that you watch certain, and it's on, you know, three or four different channels, but guys who have lost limbs in the war or whatever, they will not wear long pants. They'll come in wearing short pants. There's a guy on Fox, Joe, can't remember his name. I can't remember, Joey something, but he lost both legs.
Yeah.
He stepped on an
IED.
IED or whatever the hell it is. But he always wears short pants.
Part of that is not necessarily showing it off. It's a practicality thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because you have to futz around the thing, like, constantly.
Oh, you do?
It's
okay.
It's super uncomfortable. It doesn't never fits right.
Oh, okay.
And so part of that, if you're wearing shorts, you can just, you know, slap, you know, pop the thing off. But part of it is you're not hiding anything.
I love that about it. Hey, look, kids, I don't have any legs.
It demystifies it for
Absolutely.
Kids,
you were thinking of Joey Jones.
Joey Jones, that's exactly who it is.
IED related.
Stepped on an IED, and the guy next to him died, as a matter of fact.
Jeez.
But I do like the facts, like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I loved it this morning when I read that story a couple days ago about this 12-year-old got hit in the head by a pitch, goes to first base, sees the pitcher's crying, walks over slowly, gives him a hug, and goes, don't worry about it. You're fine. I'm fine.
I know.
I've been talking about that story for 3 days.
Yeah,
because it's real and honest.
Like, as we tend to get in our industry, particular industries, I'm sure it's this way in the car industry too, but you get very, I don't know, you feel like you don't get emotional about things anymore.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, like, you know, you're trying to look for what the, like, okay, what's the,
right.
You know, what really happened here or what, like, I watched that and I was like, holy crap. And then they cut to the parents, and you're like, you know, every one of the parents up in that stand was first going, well, what in the hell is he doing?
I know.
And they were probably like, you know, and the pitchers that side were probably like,
so
oh,
great.
Get up, you're fine, you know, after the kid got hit. And
I
to see that,
terrific.
it was really cool. It was really cool.
And again, maybe we should follow the lead of 12-year-olds.
Sure.
What about that?
For
Is
sure.
That a bad plan?
For
right?
sure.
What, take long showers in the dark?
Yes, that's it. That's exactly what I meant. All right, homie, you got to go.
All right, that wraps up another exciting episode of Walzer Automotive Group's Car Selling Secrets. I am going to be in Montana next week, so there will be no show.
Are you ever not on vacation?
It's work, actually.
Uh-huh.
Although we are going to the Yellowstone Club.
Oh, what a shock. Is Pauly going to be there with you?
No. Andrew's loaning us his place.
Oh,
so those that
okay.
Those that might not know,
God.
It's a very exclusive hang out for ultra rich people. It's on the back sky, backside of Big Sky, Montana, and I'll tell a Yellowstone Club story really quick. Andrew Walzer, Paul's younger brother, has a place up there, and 10 years ago or so, his kids were pretty young, so he dropped them off at the rec center. He and his wife went skiing for a few hours, came back to pick them up, and there's about 15 or 20 kids. They're 10 to 13, and one 45-year-old guy, and they're playing dodgeball, and the 45-year-old guy is just picking kids off left and right. It was Phil Mickelson. So apparently he's a competitive dodgeball player as well. Who knows?
Bruce Willis.
That's right.
Probably had a buck or two on the game.
Probably, too. Oh, he's a big gambler.
Oh, yes.
Probably the over-under. So anyway, that wraps up the show, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.